6. So, you wanted to see me naked? Tony says, sounding amused. And Steve's head snaps up, so hard his teeth graze the tip of his tongue. Yes, Steve says cautiously, and Tony is giving him a patient smile. You'll have to get off my leg, Tony points out in a reasonable tone. And Steve scoots back on his cushion so hard that he accidentally scoots about 6 feet away. Tony doesn't laugh, which proves that he's kinder than he wants anyone to know about. He just stands up and casually begins to strip. Tie, shoes and socks, shirt buttons. Steve realizes he's holding his breath, and then doesn't try to make himself stop as Tony's shirt falls away. He's wearing a sleeveless white undershirt, but Steve can see the blue-white glow of the arc reactor through the fabric. Tony pulls it off over his head and drops it carelessly, but he's watching Steve's face now, interested, maybe slightly wary. Steve takes in the wiry musculature of his chest and stomach, the scarring around the device that keeps Tony alive, the unexpectedly deep curve of his biceps, and finally, has to gasp in a breath. Tony relaxes slightly and unbuttons his slacks. He drops those as carelessly on the floor, and then he's stepping out of his silky-looking boxer briefs. He's perfectly proportioned, muscular, and Steve can't think why he's surprised. He's seen the semi-nudes in the briefing packet, but those had been from before the reactor. Tony had been well-built, but not like this. Now, of course, he has the Iron Man armor, which, for all that it's mostly machine-driven, is still a suit of metal armor that must be heavy as hell. Tony's cock is erect and enticing, dark red, and Steve doesn't have a lot of experience with cocks, but Tony seems on the larger end of the scale. Of course, Tony had put that in Steve's ass, so maybe his evaluation is skewed. I also said I wanted to touch you, Steve says hoarsely, glancing away from Tony's cock to Tony's face, which is still mildly amused. You did, Tony agrees, and turns on his heel, and Steve is suddenly ultra aware of an ass as being part of someone's sexual appeal. Tony's is taut and muscular, and kind of mesmerizing as he walks to the couch against the wall, and then flops down along the length of it, interrupting Steve's view. Steve swallows hard and moves to get his feet under him. No, Tony says, not sharply, but maybe a little impatiently. Steve looks at him, at a loss. Crawl, Tony says. Steve is too surprised even to blush for a moment. He actually has to do a kind of mental replay of the last few seconds. And yes, Tony had definitely said crawl. Steve's face heats, but he shifts forward onto his hands and knees and crawls, though he keeps his head up, eyes fixed on Tony's. He suspects this is a little counter to the order, but he does it anyway. That is the least submissive crawling I've ever seen. You look like a leopard or something. I half expect you to leap the rest of the way and maul me, Tony drawls languidly. He doesn't sound like he minds Steve's lack of submissive crawling. Steve edges up to the side of the couch, hands flexing and twitching. Tony watches him curiously, and after 15 seconds or so, asks, So, you feel like you can crawl any way you want to, but you have to wait for permission to touch me? Steve realizes that's exactly how he feels, and just nods. Tony looks like he's storing that away for later consideration. You can touch me, is all he says. Steve is paralyzed for a moment with simple indecision. He wanted to touch Tony. It hadn't occurred to him to plan on how to do it or where to start. His cock seems like the logical place, but Steve doesn't want to be forward. Then he gives himself a mental shake. It doesn't get more forward than this. He can start anywhere, and it doesn't matter. It's foreplay, no matter what. He starts at the top. Well, he starts by swinging himself onto the couch to straddle Tony, who looks surprised but doesn't object. And then he runs his hand through Tony's hair. It's coarse and thick, ticklish against his palms. Tony's eyebrows are sleeker, and the arches perfect angles, and his cheekbones are high and sharp. His goatee is smooth in one direction, rough in the other. Steve tentatively traces the line of his upper lip, and Tony parts his lips slightly, as though in permission. He's watching Steve intently, but his eyes are dark like they had been that first day, and Steve has to breathe in deliberately steady to keep his breath from stuttering a little the way they look. He pulls his attention away from them and back to Tony's upper lip, which is a soft bow. His lower lip is fuller, soft, and Steve presses his thumb against it and remembers Tony kissing him the last time, just the once. And not until the very end. He wonders how it would feel to kiss his mouth now. He wonders if that's something they'll do, or if it's not part of having sex this way. He's busy enough wondering about it that he's caught out unexpectedly when Tony's tongue slides out and curls along the side of his thumb. This time, no amount of deliberate breathing will keep the hitch out of Steve's breath. He glances at Tony's eyes. Dark, heavy with some kind of challenge. And then Tony slides his mouth open wider and deftly maneuvers Steve's thumb inside. Tony's lips curl in a pink O around it. Steve can't even breathe. And then his tongue is curling around Steve's thumb and his cheeks hollow as he sucks. Steve's cock jerks so hard he feels it at the root, the heavy sway. And it's like there is a line of nerves that travel directly between Steve's thumb and his groin. Steve husks out a sound that might have been a moan if it hadn't been so breathless. Tony sucks again, hard and obviously deliberate, and Steve feels it in his balls. When Tony releases his thumb, Steve is so desperately turned on that he barely has the wherewithal to pull it back. And finds that he can't quite stop himself from slicking it along Tony's lower lip so that it shines wetly. Tony is smiling at him, that hint of challenge still in his eyes, just enough to make Steve try to pull himself together. Of course this was going to be interactive. He can't imagine why he thought it might have been otherwise. He doesn't realize how sideways the idea has knocked him until Tony says, "Breathe, Captain." And Steve takes a deep, shuddering breath that significantly reduces the tightness in his chest. He does it again, and then one more time, aware of Tony watching him, and is both aroused and embarrassed that it had taken so little to do this to Steve. And then he presses one hand to Tony's throat. Tony hitches out a little breath, but his expression doesn't change. Steve's hand is large enough to almost wrap around the column of Tony's neck from one side to the other. He doesn't press, touches just enough to let him feel Tony's pulse, which is fast. He slides his fingers down to Tony's right collarbone and traces it with his thumb. He brings his left hand into play, doing the same to Tony's left collarbone. And then he's wrapping his hands around Tony's upper arms. Tony flexes a little. Possibly on purpose, Steve can't tell, and doesn't look up to Tony's face to try and figure it out. He gets too distracted with Tony's face. It's good, though, the slight flex that bunches Tony's biceps in Steve's hands. Steve breathes out a little unsteadily. Tony's muscles are utilitarian and rock hard, the result of hard work often repeated. Steve wants to lick the curve of Tony's bicep, and presses lips to the silky skin at the interior bend of his elbow. He draws his hands away and risks a glance at Tony's face. His lips are still parted, and he's watching Steve with open desire that twists in the pit of his stomach. He tries to keep his cock away from Tony's body, but thinks he's probably dripping pre-cum onto Tony anyway. He wants to check that he isn't, but he's afraid to know if he is. He forces his eyes down to Tony's chest and brushes his fingertips lightly over the small, dark nipples. Tony inhales audibly, and Steve squeezes his eyes shut for a moment. Then he's tracing the planes of Tony's pectorals, sliding his thumbs down across the hard lines of muscle, feeling the scars around the arc reactor sliding along his fingertips. "Can I?" Steve begins, and then pauses at how hoarse and needful his voice sounds. He looks at Tony, who arches a brow. "Will it hurt it?" Steve asks. He lets his hand hover over the arc reactor. "If I touch it?" "No," Tony says, a little slowly. "You won't hurt it, but don't feel obligated to touch it. I won't hold it against you if it's a little too weird for you." Steve laughs, surprised into it, and both of Tony's brows arch at this. "You think the arc reactor is the weird part?" he asks, still half smiling, and Tony's face settles into intensity again. "It doesn't bother you at all?" Tony asks, tone curious, but as intense as his face. "I think it's the most incredible thing I've ever seen," Steve says honestly. "It's proof that you're you." Tony's expression flickers, still intense, but Steve isn't sure what it means. But Tony says, "You can touch it any way you want to. You can't hurt it." He cocks his head up, though, as if he wants to see what Steve will really do. At first, Steve merely lets the hand that is hovering over it come to rest gently on top of it. The glow zigzags out from between Steve's fingers, something Steve finds satisfying without being able to say why. The metal embedded in Tony's chest is as warm as the rest of his body, but the device fitting into the metal is cooler. More importantly, Steve can feel it working. Not a buzz or a hum. It seems to be completely silent, but as a faint pulling sensation. "Is it?" Steve wonders without quite realizing he's asking aloud. "A magnet? Something? It feels like it pulls a little." Tony's voice is openly surprised at this. "It is. An electromagnet powered by the arc reactor. You can feel the pull of it?" Steve looks up. "Just really faintly, like the way you feel static in the air sometimes." "It's not even strong enough to affect your dog tags," Tony says, and grabs Steve's dog tags and tugs at them deliberately. "You shouldn't be able to feel it by touch at all." Steve suspects the serum in his blood, but just shakes his head. "I have a cluster of shrapnel in my chest that's headed for my heart. The arc reactor powers an electromagnet that keeps the shrapnel from moving around." Steve's heart starts to pound. "That's not in your file," he says hoarsely. "For which I'm grateful," Tony says. He catches Steve's hand atop the arc reactor and squeezes it gently. "Don't panic," Tony says. "I'm not in any danger. The arc reactor is doing its job." "Does it hurt?" Steve asks, apparently helpless to keep his mouth shut, even when he recognizes that he'd probably be better off not interrogating Tony about his homemade life support system. "No." Tony looks at him seriously. "Weird now?" Steve blinks. "No," he says at once. "Still the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Just a little scared of hurting it with the context in place." Tony smiles, the corner of his eyes crinkling. Apart from deliberately taking some heavy object to it, you can't hurt it. Even then, you probably wouldn't hurt it. It's made from the strongest stuff in the world. You're far more likely to hurt any other part of me than you are the arc reactor. After all, you can probably bench press me for about a week before you get tired. He squeezes Steve's hand again. Really, I'm a genius engineer. You could drive a car over the arc reactor without hurting it. The same can't be said of the rest of me. You can do anything you want to it. The tension eases out of Steve gradually as the logic of Tony's explanation sifts through his fears. Of course the arc reactor is virtually indestructible. Tony had known when he made it that it was going to have to keep him alive. And Iron Man, of course. Sorry, Steve says, hanging his head a little. Tony presses Steve's palm against the arc reactor more firmly. Don't be. Just believe me and act accordingly, Tony says simply. Steve nods, shuffles the arc reactor's primary function to the back of his mind, and concentrates on it instead as part of Tony's body. The device isn't quite flush with Tony's chest. It sticks out a little, less than a quarter inch. Steve traces the rim of it and wonders if it's medically necessary or if it's so the reactor can see into the suit. He suspects it's the latter, and that goes a long way towards allowing him to let go of his concern. Of course, Tony wouldn't hesitate to design the thing in his body so that it interfaced with the suit, regardless of aesthetics. The ridges of the scars, clearly emergency surgery done in less than ideal circumstances, are thick and white, just a few still pink, but old scarring. Years old. Tony's breathing goes a little uneven as Steve traces them with his fingers. And Steve knows that scars are sometimes numb to sensation, and sometimes extremely sensitive. He'd like to put his mouth to Tony's chest and find out which of them are which, but he doesn't ask. Maybe next time he'll think to negotiate for putting his mouth on Tony's body. This time, he satisfies himself with his hands, eventually dragging them down to Tony's well-muscled stomach. Tony's navel is a soft dip that Steve's thumb drags across. His hip bones are beautiful, framing the expanse of muscle that leads down to his groin. Steve presses the heel of his palms against them and curls his fingers around Tony's hips. He feels a little dizzy at how his hands fit there, and at how easy it would be to leave his hands there, pinning Tony, and dip down to trace Tony's cock with his lips. His breath goes a little uneven, and he looks at Tony. Tony is watching, tipped up a little on his elbows now. "Losing your nerve?" Tony asks, faintly mocking, that little gleam of challenge in his eyes again. Steve doesn't answer. He just wraps a hand around Tony's cock lightly, feeling the silky skin and the weight of it, feeling how hot it is and how hard it feels in his palm. He runs his thumb around the flare of the glands, and Tony rumbles a low sound that makes Steve's cock jerk at the same time, and it makes him tighten his grasp on Tony's cock. Steve gives it a long stroke without thought, just wanting to feel it in his hand. How familiar it is, while being completely foreign at the same time. The angle is different, but the weight familiar. The heat seems more intense, but the big vein throbbing at the base is the same. Tony doesn't moan, but he breathes harshly, and his hips cant slightly, as though to change the angle. Steve, without quite grasping why, merely brings his fist down to the base of Tony's cock and holds it there. Tony, as though expecting it, works his hips up in several smooth, practiced thrusts. Steve watches Tony's cock move through his own fist with a dazed kind of disbelief, sees the skin of Tony's cock go more deeply red, watches moisture bead at the slit. His mouth waters at the sight, and he hears himself breathing as if from a distance, short, sharp breaths, and his cock is aching. He wants more and isn't sure how to ask for it. He's opening his mouth to do it anyway, to say something, when Tony goes still. Steve, without thinking about it, moves his hand, tightens his fist. "No," Tony says sharply, and Steve freezes, belly twisting, and looks at Tony's face. Tony is gorgeously flushed, his mouth wet as he breathes roughly, his eyes dark and hungry. "Let go," he says, except it's more than that. It's an order, and Steve desperately wants to make Tony come, desperately doesn't want to lose the feel of Tony, hot and ready in his fist. But Tony's tone crackles at him, like Steve's whole body is an exposed nerve. He lets go slowly, forcing his hand to behave itself, and there's a slick place at the webbing between thumb and forefinger. He isn't even aware of thinking as he moves his hand up towards his mouth, and barely recalls himself before doing something he's never done before. His hand hovers there, and he finds himself looking at Tony helplessly for guidance or permission he doesn't know. "Go ahead," Tony says, voice a low, edged thing, and Steve can't look away from his face as he brings his hand up and licks at the place where it's wet from Tony's cock. The flavor is sharp and a little bitter. Tony closes his eyes briefly, and Steve makes a helpless sound at having affected Tony. His whole body tenses into a shudder, and the head of his cock briefly makes contact with Tony's thigh. Steve's eyes want to sag shut at the heat of Tony's skin against his cock, but he recoils instead, bringing his knees up to make sure not to do it again. Tony watches him for a few seconds, his face almost impassive, but for the dark and feral thing Steve can see behind his eyes. "You know my left thigh is already soaked where you've been dripping on it, Captain," Tony says, matter-of-factly. Steve throws a helpless glance downward, and yes, Tony's thigh is wet in several places. Steve's face flames with humiliation, but another of those full-body shudders racks him at the sight of his pre-cum slicking Tony's skin. "Do you always leak so much?" Tony asks him. Then, with that slight sneer again, adds, "You're as wet as a girl." Steve's face somehow grows even hotter. "I'm sorry." Then, because he can't quite help it, he whispers hoarsely, "I'm not a girl." "No, that much is clear," Tony says, and reaches down and catches Steve's cock in his hand. Steve tenses so hard that it hurts a little, and only barely manages to keep from coming. As it is, his cock jerks in Tony's hand, and Steve is sure he's leaking all over it. He tries to pull back, humiliated and fearful that he still might come in Tony's hand, but Tony tightens his grip. Steve lets out a low, pleading moan. "But you do get as wet as a girl," Tony says, as though he's unaware of how close Steve is to shooting, or doesn't care. Tony's wrist twists a little, his palm sliding briefly across the head of his cock, and Steve's head rocks back. When Tony closes his hand around Steve's cock again, his whole palm is slick with what can only be Steve's pre-cum. Steve can feel his heart pounding in his chest and his blood rushing in his ears. "I've never seen a man get so wet." Tony's voice is almost conversational. "Sorry," Steve whispers, throat tight, cock aching. He doesn't know what to do. "Don't be," Tony says, not quite reassuringly, but simply, as if it's only a matter of him saying so to make it so. "I wonder how much I'd have to do to you to make you leak enough so that you could take my cock on nothing but your own precum. Steve? He whites out for a moment or something. His cock feels like it's going to explode. He actually feels his cock leaking against Tony's fingers, and Tony shifts his grip again, shoving Steve perilously close to the edge of orgasm. And then he lets go of Steve's cock entirely. Steve manages to pry his eyes open to look down. Tony is wiping his slick palm against his already wet thigh. "Do you know what frottage is?" Tony asks, dragging Steve's dazed eyes back up to Tony's face. Steve shakes his head, desperate and confused. "I'm going to rearrange you," Tony tells him. "Just move where I push." It would never have occurred to Steve to do anything else. Tony's hands press against the tops of Steve's shoulders, and Steve moves backwards obediently. He presses one palm against Steve's left knee, shoving it between the knee and the cushion to do it, and Steve lifts his leg. Tony slides his right leg off the side of the couch and lets Steve's knee go even as he's shifting a little toward the middle of the couch. Tony's cock is directly beneath Steve's chin, still beautiful and flushed. There's a wet smear of pre-cum on Tony's belly that Steve can't possibly be responsible for. Steve wants to lick it off, but Tony's hands are on his arms, pulling him up again. "Leave your knees where they are," Tony tells him, and Steve obediently, though with utter bafflement, moves up Tony's body with just his hands so that he's stretched out along the line of Tony's body in a way that would be precarious if Steve wasn't in possession of superhuman balance and reflexes. "Do you want to come?" Tony asks him throatily. "Yes," Steve says at once. "Good. Do exactly what I say," Tony murmurs. "Yes," Steve says again. "Take your weight on your elbows," Tony tells him. Steve drops down to his elbows and immediately makes a choked sound of surprise. The whole length of his cock is resting against the hard width of Tony's thigh, slick with Steve's pre-cum, warm and solid. "Good," Tony tells him. "You can rub yourself against my thigh until you come." Steve's face burns and he closes his eyes against a prickle that he's terrified might be tears. He wants to object. No, he wants to want to object. He's shocked and humiliated at the idea, but his whole body is shivering, skin prickling heat. And he's also desperately aroused at this, being put into this situation, this position, at being told that he can run against Tony's leg like a dog. And this is part of the reason it has to be Tony. He isn't sure what kind of sound he makes, but he eases his knees down until the pressure between Tony's thigh and Steve's belly is enough to make Steve's cock jerk and throb and rolls his hips experimentally. The sheer relief at the blaze of pleasure that results is so great that Steve's neck goes loose and his head drops forward, forehead coming to rest against Tony's chest. Tony merely shifts so that Steve is resting on his skin rather than against the metal of the arc reactor, and slips his fingers through Steve's slightly sweaty hair. "Don't twaddle, Captain," he murmurs, a weirdly gentle threat. Steve breathes heavily against Tony's chest for another handful of seconds, and then shifts his hips a little. Any movement at all is amazing, but Steve wants to do things right. And maybe there isn't a right or wrong way to do it, but there has to be a best way to do it. He rolls his hips again, angling his hips forward as far as he can, and moans at the hot pressure of slick skin, the friction arcing along his cock and his spine at the same time. And it only takes 2 or 3 thrusts for him to understand that it isn't going to matter. It's all good, however he arches or presses. It all feels overheated and harsh and electric at the same time. and he shifts just enough to get as much leverage as he can achieve in this position, and just shoves up against Tony's hot skin, whining a little with his face pressed against Tony's chest. Tony's thigh flexes against Steve's cock at the next press of his hips, and Steve almost wails with pleasure. His hands clenched into fists, his eyes jammed shut, sweat prickling at the small of his back. And Tony tugs at his hair enough to make Steve gasp and jerk his hips involuntarily. He breathes out a helpless little moan, his hips stuttering for a few seconds, and there isn't enough air between his body and Tony's. Everything is hot and thick, and Steve's outside of his own control, his hips rocking and jerking against Tony's thigh, his cock wet and hard as diamonds, his biceps and thighs shuddering to maintain the position. Then Tony is saying, 5 seconds, Captain, in a sharp, demanding voice. And Steve doesn't need the 5 seconds, just, apparently, the voice, because he's trembling and coming and moaning open-mouthed against Tony's chest, his whole body a tight and jerking expanse of nerves as he shoots between them. And Tony says, good, that's perfect. Look at you writhe. My God, you're gorgeous. I'm just going to fuck you in less than 10 minutes, and you're going to get hard and come for that too, whether you think you can or not. Steve has barely started to recover his mental focus when Tony presses him upward. Steve groans and forces himself up and back on unsteady limbs, and says, there's nothing to be done about the couch. I'll have to call in professionals, but you'll clean up the mess you left on me. Steve blinks for a second, thinks that maybe one of the other doors has a bathroom with washcloths in it, and tries to get his feet under him. Tony jerks him back down so harshly that Steve nearly crumples on top of him again, then shoves at Steve's shoulders until Steve is backing down the couch. Tony stops when Steve's face is more or less level with Tony's cock, still hard, and for a moment, Steve thinks Tony means he should get him off. He tips his head down, not sure how, but willing to try. Tony catches him by the hair just before Steve's lips brush the crown. As much as I appreciate the sentiment, Tony drawls, I was referring to the mess you left on my thigh. His hands are fairly gentle this time as he directs Steve's face further down by the hand he still has in Steve's hair. Steve hovers there, looking at the slick, wet mess on Tony's thigh, with absolutely no idea how to clean it up. Tony is unusually silent, and Steve is just looking, trying to process. When it comes to him, he's almost embarrassed that it took him so long, as he is at the idea of what he's supposed to do. He tips his face slightly and shifts down and licks a wet stripe along the top of Tony's thigh. His own cum tastes much like Tony's pre-cum, only stronger, maybe slightly less bitter. He's prickling a little with humiliation, but it's a much more focused version of what he'd felt while rubbing off against Tony, and is actually almost a good thing, weirdly soothing. It makes his face warm, and he's ultra aware of Tony watching him do this, but mostly, it feels like a low buzz of arousal centered almost entirely in his mind. He pauses for a moment to think about that, to integrate it or something. But Tony murmurs, don't stop. His voice so low and rough that Steve responds automatically in every sense. He laps the moisture off Tony's skin. He glances up enough to see Tony watching him hungrily, and his cock twitches against his thigh. Steve pulls back when he's done, as much as he thinks he can do, licking his lips and glancing up to see what Tony's face can tell him. Tony says, that hardly bothered you at all, and crooks 2 fingers at Steve. Steve moves up the couch obediently. Not like fucking up against my leg did. You were so worked up about that, I expected you to come after about 15 seconds. Why didn't you? I think, Steve says, and tries not to look at the way that Tony is looking at his mouth. I mean, you didn't say to, and... Steve's face heats. You didn't talk as much during the... your... Steve shrugs a little helplessly. You say things that make me... Tony says, but he looks pleased. Get off. Steve slides over the side of the couch and onto the floor. I read your list, Tony says out of nowhere, and Steve just looks at him for a moment, completely boggled. Tony is sitting now, his erect cock poking him in the belly. He still looks flushed and terribly distracting, and Steve blames that on why he doesn't immediately grasp what Tony is talking about. No contracts involved in sexual negotiation, Tony says. Learn to suck my cock. See me naked. Touch me everywhere. Fuck you in an actual bed. Tony doesn't rattle the rest of it off, thank God. Steve isn't exactly horrified that Tony had seen it. There's nothing on it that he's ashamed of, exactly, but feels suddenly shy and stupidly ignorant. You draw? Is all Tony asks, though. Steve nods. There is a lump in his throat that is so thick he's afraid to answer. Are you any good? Tony wants to know. I was going to art school when... Steve says, and then waves a hand. Tony nods thoughtfully. And why you? Tony asks, and Steve feels his face heat. He'd been kind of hoping Tony would ignore that item on the list. Tony gazes at him, oddly concerned. Why you shouldn't even be a question, he says. Seriously, have you looked at you? Steve just looks at him. I know you were a little turned around last time, but did you hear what you said? The sounds that you made while I fucked you? Tony drops down to his knees and closes the distance between them, settling so that he's knee-to-knee with Steve. And I can't even begin to tell you what it looks like to watch my cock stretching open your ass, Captain, or the look on your face when you come, and that you came back after that. Tony lets his sentence trail off. He touches Steve's face gently, two fingertips stroking across Steve's cheekbone. And you're so sweet and eager, Tony says a little harshly, though his fingertips are still gentle on Steve's face. I'm going to strip you down, piece by piece. See how eager you really are. See if you stay so sweet. Find out all the things that make you hot and humiliated and needy and helpless. Tony's face is dark, greed and desire. His expression is enough to terrify and exhilarate Steve in equal parts, and his cock fills in response, even as Tony's soft, not quite threatening voice gives him chills. I want you to stay right here, facing the couch, Tony says firmly. I'm going to get some things, and I want you to stay exactly where you are until I come back. Do you understand? Steve nods, mouth dry. Tony cocks his head a little. No, I don't think so. When I ask you for something, or tell you to do something, you say, yes, sir. Do you understand, Captain? Yes, sir, Steve rasps out. He feels himself straightening even as he says it, automatic, ingrained. And Tony chuckles a little. But he stands and recovers the drink Steve had left sitting on the edge of Tony's computer table and gives it to Steve. Steve downs it in one swallow, and Tony takes the tumbler back. Water? Tony asks. Please, sir, Steve says gratefully. Tony chuckles again, but strides naked and graceful around the bar and bends to get a bottle out of the refrigerator tucked behind it. He opens it and hands it to Steve, who drinks thirstily, and then gives it back. Tony takes a couple of swallows himself, and then caps the bottle and sits it on the bar. "Don't move, Captain," Tony reminds him. "Yes, sir," Steve agrees. While Tony is gone, Steve considers the idea of calling Tony sir, and can't decide whether it's hot or just weird. It feels wrong somehow, like Steve is twisting the fabric of his military training, but that there is definitely some kind of arousal response in the pit of his belly, though it's fairly mild. He hopes that it doesn't affect him with all the other people he has to call sir. He's blushing again by the time Tony comes back. Tony notes this with a faintly arched brow, but doesn't ask any questions about it. He's carrying a pair of leather bracelets linked together with chain. Some kind of handcuffs, Steve understands, cock twitching. He puts them on the couch and then sets something else next to it. Steve looks at it, tipping his head a little in thought. It's a piece of rubber or leather. Steve isn't sure. Black and shaped more or less like a cock. A little wider and flatter, it's attached to another piece of what Steve is pretty sure is leather this time. There's some stitching on the sides he can see. And attached to that piece are two long leather straps. He considers the shape and where that means the thing might be meant to go. But then he can't figure out the straps. "I like choices," Tony says, after watching Steve just look for more than a minute. The fact that you have a list, even if it isn't a very long one, means that you like choices too. He sinks down to one knee and turns Steve's face so he's looking at Tony. When he doesn't move his hand away, Steve sort of helplessly presses his cheek into Tony's palm. Tony runs a thumb along his lips, and Steve opens immediately and eagerly, desire nodding in the cradle between his hip bones. Tony obligingly slips his thumb into Steve's mouth, and Steve tastes sweat and a little bourbon, a little flavor of his own pre-cum, leather. He curls his tongue as Tony had, and Tony's eyes drop to half-mast. Steve sucks in a little breath at the sight, and then sucks carefully, hollowing his cheeks. His thumb trips around the edges of Tony's thumb, tracking calluses and tiny scars, and Steve's eyes want to slip closed. "That's good," Tony murmurs. "You should see how you look. Harder than that." Steve sucks harder, and Tony actually makes a short, abrupt little noise that might have been a bitten-off moan. Steve exhales sharply, but Tony pulls his thumb free, pausing to smear Steve's saliva across his cheek. Steve flushes, but is so hot all over that he can hardly tell. "Choices," Tony repeats. He stops, and Steve realizes he's waiting for a response. "Yes, sir," he agrees, even though he's not sure what he's agreeing to at this point. It doesn't matter. He wants to agree to whatever Tony wants him to agree to. "You want to learn to suck my cock?" Tony asks. Steve's breath hitches. "Yes, sir." His eyes drop down to Tony's cock helplessly. He's still hard. Steve can see the tip glistening a little. Not wet like Steve gets wet, but definitely wet with arousal. His mouth waters at the idea of tasting it directly from the source. "And I said I was going to fuck you within 10 minutes, Tony says. And Steve had almost forgotten that. "Yes, sir," he says. He isn't sure whether to be dismayed or ecstatic. As far as choices went, it looked like a win to him either way. "I'm going to fuck you, Captain," Tony says flatly. "The question is whether or not I'll teach you to suck me after I do." He picks up the cuffs. "I'm going to bend you over the couch and shove my cock into your ass." Steve shudders. "I want to know whether or not you'll be wearing these while I do it." Steve doesn't have to think. The cuffs don't scare him in any but the most basic of senses. The idea of having his hands rendered useless is across the board erotic. The humiliation that springs to life at the back of his mind is the same kind that he'd felt when he'd licked his cum off Tony's thigh. The kind that feels like his brain is prickling with arousal at the same rate his body is. "Yes, sir," he agrees, and Tony smiles a little at him, sharpish but pleased. He puts the cuffs down and picks up the other thing. "Any idea what this is?" Tony asks. "No, sir," Steve says. Then, because he feels like he has to, adds, "I thought it might be some kind of thing to go inside me, but I can't see what the straps would be for." Tony's expression goes briefly gentle, and he surprises Steve completely when he leans in and presses a short, warm kiss to his lips. He leans back again before Steve can do anything about it, and Steve is actually opening his mouth to ask if he could please do that again, when Tony takes advantage of his open mouth to slip the vaguely cock-like part into Steve's mouth. Steve feels his eyes widen. His skin breaks out into a fine sweat, all at once and everywhere, so that it prickles madly for several seconds, while Steve just blinks. He is rapidly reevaluating his attitude towards gags. Tony presses the leather part up against Steve's lips, and then draws the straps back on either side of Steve's face. He tugs gently, and Steve's head tips back. "But it's not as simple as that," Tony tells him in a confidential tone. Steve tries to bite down on the rubber in his mouth, and can't quite manage it. It's too long for him to get a grip on. "Remember that, if you decide this is okay, and then it turns out not to be, you can tap out." Steve glances at the handcuffs and wonders how that would work. Tony, following his gaze, says, "Can you snap your fingers?" Steve snaps the fingers of both hands. "Good. And if you can't do that for some reason, you can clap your hands together. The cuffs will leave your hands close enough. Do you understand, Captain?" Steve pauses, obviously unable to say, "Yes, sir," and finally just nods. "Okay, that's good. Now, the gag. I don't keep a lot of toys in my office. If I did, I might have started you out on something simpler." Tony looks a little ruminative, but then returns his attention to Steve's face. He runs the fingertips of his free hand around the leather pressed against Steve's lips. "Then again, maybe I wouldn't have. You've been a pretty quick study so far. Relax a little. I'm going to show you something." Steve relaxes as much as he can, which isn't much. He's so turned on, he's surprised he can do anything but fall on top of Tony and rub off against his thigh again. Of course, Tony wouldn't let him, which only turns him on more. Then Tony is tugging the leather straps behind Steve's head, a fierce little jerk, and the gag slides deeper into Steve's mouth, past his tongue, and nudges up against the back of his throat. He makes a surprised choking sound, and it's only chance that he's looking at Tony's face when he does. Tony's eyes glitter so fiercely at the noise that Steve's whole body wants to sway towards Tony, as though Tony is magnetically charged. "It's meant to do that," Tony tells him, meeting Steve's eyes. "It's supposed to keep you quiet, and when I jerk on the straps, it lengthens a little to make you choke." He pauses. "I like the sound," he says candidly. "But I didn't want something that was a choking hazard when used as a regular gag. So I made this. It can be either. I can use the straps to keep it in place. I don't have to choke you with it. Do you understand?" Steve nods slowly. "If you want to suck my cock, you'll take the cuffs and the gag while I fuck you. But whether I choke you or not is up to you." His voice is completely neutral. He tugs the gag out of Steve's mouth and just holds it in one hand. "And if you don't want any of the trappings, I'll still fuck you, but you'll have to keep wondering what cocksucking would be like. I'll take everything, Steve says. Tony looks at him sharply, a little surprised, but mostly impatient. Sir, Steve adds hurriedly, I'm sorry. I meant that you can use all of it however you want, sir. Do you want to suck my cock that badly, or would you have taken it anyway? Tony asks, as though genuinely curious. Steve blushes. I would have taken it all anyway. Your face! He's not sure how to finish that sentence, so he doesn't. You won't even be able to see my face, Captain, Tony reminds him sharply. It doesn't matter, Steve says softly. I'll still know. Tony shoves him forward in response, roughly enough that Steve's knees burn against the carpet. And being bent over the edge of the couch isn't much different than being bent over Tony's desk had been. Tony pushes Steve's knees further apart and sets a hand in the middle of his back that immediately makes Steve feel loose and easy. Tony hums, and then he's reaching around and pressing the tip of the gag against Steve's lips. Steve opens his mouth and takes it. Don't spit it out, Tony says. There's nothing holding it in until I've got the reins in my hands. Steve clamps his teeth around the edge as well as he can, considering the size and shape. It feels unsteady, but he's determined. Tony pulls his arms behind him, positioning them sideways, forearm to forearm, running across the middle of his back. Steve is a little surprised, but he hardly thinks of it while it's happening. The feel of the leather closing snug and cool around each of his wrists is too distracting. Snap, Tony says, and Steve does. Clap, Tony says, and Steve has to twist his arms up towards his spine, but he finds that he can do that too. Don't forget, Tony says firmly. The keg is supposed to make you feel and sound a little like you're choking, not actually choke you. If you can't breathe, don't hesitate to tap out. Tony sounds amazingly, erotically breathless even as he's saying it, however, and the head of Steve's cock is sort of sliding against the front of the couch, tipped down and probably making a mess just from the way Tony's voice sounds. Good, Tony breathes out, his hand stroking along Steve's back. Perfect. Steve feels him gathering up the straps, but he just holds them in his fist, which is resting between Steve's shoulder blades. Steve doesn't know why Tony's hand there has such a profoundly grounding effect on him, and he doesn't care that much. It's enough to know that it does, and that Tony apparently knows that. Either the lubricant had already been opened at some point, or Steve just misses the click of the lid opening, as Tony's fingers are slick already when they slide between the cheeks of Steve's ass. Steve shudders and tries to will his body to relax, but he's humming with arousal already. And he thinks it's been too long since his last orgasm for his body to still be relaxed and easy. Even when fingering himself, Steve had noticed how quickly he tightened up again after he came. Tony's fingertips circle his hole and press gently, but don't enter. Have you been jerking off since last week? Tony murmurs, one finger pressing intently. Steve can't answer, but that doesn't stop Tony from talking. I know you have. I've never had anyone so responsive on my cock, Captain. Seasoned professionals could take lessons from you on responsiveness. Tony presses harder, and his fingertip slides inside. Steve huffs out a long breath through his nose as Tony slowly presses into him. Still so tight. I may have to make you something. He strokes his finger into Steve slowly. Steve struggles not to rock his hips to try and rub his cock against the couch. I'm an engineering genius, you know. I'm betting I could design a toy to keep your pretty ass nice and ready for my cock. Steve's breath catches. He can suddenly imagine something. Not details, because he just doesn't have the knowledge. But something not unlike the gag in Shape. Something to use on himself before he sees Tony. And the whole idea makes him shudder. He makes a noise that is mostly smothered by the gag. He isn't even sure what it would have been. Tony slides another finger around his hole, and then inside, quickly. Nothing as patient as he had been before. Steve bites back a little sound of pain. It burns when Tony shoves in. Burns harder when he presses them both in together. But the gag turns that meaningless as well. At some point, you're going to be well used often enough that I won't have to prep you at all, Tony says, and twists his wrists, jabbing his fingertips towards the place that Steve himself can only sometimes find. The one that makes his back arch and electrifies his whole body. Steve moans, and Tony jerks at the straps, pulling Steve's head back and forcing Steve to struggle not to choke on the gag as it bumps against the back of his throat. Tony eases off after only a moment, but his fingers press and push again, and he says, "Yes, that's perfect. Take my fingers like you're going to take my cock. Take it while I make you choke." Tony's voice is almost a growl, and Steve shudders, the burn of Tony's fingers finally fading into pure pleasure. He rocks his hips experimentally back against Tony's fingers. Tony hadn't said to be still this time, and Tony drags them partway out. Steve eases back into position, and Tony slides them back inside, slicker now, and Steve knows not to move. "You take what I give you," Tony says, and presses a third finger into Steve. It burns again, but Steve doesn't move. "If I want you to fuck yourself on my fingers, I'll tell you so." Steve's face flames, but he can't deny that that had been what he was trying to do. Tony makes everything sound so filthy. Tony fucks into him with three fingers, spreading them wide before pressing them together and thrusting them in and out like a cock, angled to make Steve want to beg and moan, and then drags back on the straps of the gag as soon as Steve does moan. The noise that emerges, the sound of it, helpless and choked off, crackles unexpectedly at the base of Steve's spine, and he shudders even as Tony is still dragging the gag back into his throat, even as Steve is still struggling not to choke on it. Heat washes through his whole body as his throat starts to feel a little raw, and Tony says, "Yeah, that's it, choke on it for me," and shoves his fingers into Steve's ass, fast and hard. Steve can't quite keep still. He's desperately overheated, his head buzzing with the white noise of arousal, the choking only spurring it on. And he wants Tony's cock helplessly, wants to feel it inside him while the gag slowly cuts off his air. Tony loosens the straps abruptly, and Steve groans, and that twists at his balls, the sound of himself so muted, forced quiet, that he groans again and feels tears trickling from the corner of his eyes. "God, yes," Tony murmurs and draws his fingers out of Steve. He reaches forward to wipe them on the couch and then is pressing against Steve's hole. "Perfectly still, Captain. Perfectly still," he murmurs, and presses in hard all at once. Steve cries out, pain and pleasure in roughly equal measures, and Tony's response is to draw back and shove in again, this time dragging at the straps of his gags at the same time. Steve makes helpless noises, first diminished by the gag, and then strangled altogether as he chokes on it. And Steve's cock arches and throbs. "Take it," Tony bites out, loosening the straps, and then wraps one hand around Steve's hip and pounds into him fiercely. "So tight. I swear I'm going to fix that. Find out what it takes to keep you easy. You want to be easy, don't you, Captain? An ass like yours should be easy for a man's cock." Steve gasps and gasps, and Tony continues to pound him. And Tony hasn't said he can come, but Steve is starting to think he isn't going to be able to help it. He whines desperately, and Tony jerks to a stop. Steve shivers, his hands twisting restlessly behind his back. "You want to come?" Tony asks, and he waits this time, so Steve cautiously nods. "Can you do it while I choke you?" Steve flushes, because he's pretty sure he can't help but do it while Tony chokes him. But he just nods carefully anyway. "Let's see it then," Tony snarls, his hips snapping forward and dragging across that spot inside Steve roughly. Steve's head falls back and Tony pulls the straps, and Steve lets out choking, shattered moans, and Tony fucks him so hard that Steve can barely recover from one stroke to the next. He's arched so tensely that he feels like he might fly apart. The stretch of Tony's cock pounding into him, the feel of the leather around his wrists, the way his own pleasure and pain sounds are twisted into something he hardly recognizes, but that still make him gasp and pant dizzily for breath behind the gag. Tony pulls the straps harder, jerking Steve's head as far back as it can go, and Steve is merely trembling and choking, his throat working around the rubber pressed against it, tears streaming from his eyes. And Tony says, "Yeah, come on, take it in your ass and your throat. Do this for me. I want it like this." And Steve does, his vision going a little gray as his body shakes, his orgasm so hard he wants to curl up around it. It feels like dying. It's so good, so hard, that he barely realizes when Tony loosens the straps and he sucks in a huge, helpless breath, his balls clenching, his whole body hot. And he's vaguely aware when Tony slips the gag out of his mouth, but only enough so that he can drop his face down against the couch and gasp roughly and moan hoarsely and try to wipe tears away against the suede or whatever the couch is made of. His heartbeat is so loud, he's sure Tony must be able to hear it, and he isn't sure how long he kneels there, dazed and undone. Tony's hand between his shoulder blades is the first thing he feels, and then Tony talking, as though in mid-sentence. "That was perfect, beautiful. I can't believe how fucking gorgeous you are. And every time I think I know, you get better." Tony is stroking up and down one side of Steve's ribs, petting him. "I can't wait to show you, Captain. There's so much more I want to see you take, and you're going to take everything. You'll be spectacular." Tony's voice is barely a murmur. Steve zones on it for a few seconds before he realizes that Tony's cock is still buried in his body, still hard. None of that feeling from before when Tony had come inside him, everything hot and slick and wet.